It's December the 21st. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. Got a note that came in around Thanksgiving from a friend who said, "One of my many thanks this year is you, Pastor Ray, and the bus you are driving. Thank you." Well, to my friend who wrote it, thank you so much for those kind words. And thank you to everybody who jumped on the Bible bus. You know, we have heard from people who started on January the 1st, and some people have not missed a single day, which just here in December blows my mind. But I also know there's a lot of people who've joined the months along the way. Thank you. So whether you joined at the beginning or halfway through or just maybe the last couple of weeks, it doesn't matter. We're glad to have you. A number of people have said, that they plan to start again in January. I think that's a wonderful idea. These videos they're archived by month on keepbelieving.com. So anytime you want to start in Genesis, and it's, you know, you're going to have this is what, about 11 days from now, it'll be January the 1st, and you can start again. It's going to be all there. Just a reminder. I've said this, I don't know, dozens and dozens of times, but it's important. I hope you'll like this video on Facebook and Rumble and YouTube. That really matters. Liking the videos, that, you know, as my buddy Lee Fay likes to say, we got to get into the rhythm of the algorithm. Like those videos it's an easy way you can help us reach more people. And thank you for subscribing to the Keep Believing YouTube channel. It's free. You can unsubscribe anytime you want. Just means you'll be notified every time we start, every time a new video is posted. We have 3,511. That was the most recent number I saw. Thank you so much for doing that. And also on the Rumble channel, if you can go to Rumble, that's an alternative video platform. Go to Rumble and find the Keep Believing a channel. You can subscribe there also. So today, December the 21st, we're near Christmas. Looking forward to that. Exciting. Zechariah, chapters 11 through 14. His name means God remembers. He was a contemporary of Haggai and Zerubbabel. The date of his book, about 520 BC, 518 BC. The message in the beginning is get that temple built. And the reason is Messiah is coming. And the great glory of that little, relatively unimpressive structure that Zerubbabel and the guys rebuilt, relatively compared to Solomon's temple, which was glorious. In the end, Haggai said the later glory will be much more. What was he thinking of? Well, by the Spirit, what he meant was the day will come when the glory of God, when Jesus, who is God's glory, would walk in that very temple. So what a wonderful thing. There's a lot of messianic prophecy in the book of Zechariah, more than maybe any, more I think in Zechariah than any of the other minor prophets. Here's the outline of the book, 8 visions. We've done that. Chapters 1 to 6, 4 messages, chapters 7 and 8, and 2 burdens, 2 heavy messages from Zechariah, chapters 9 through 14. And the first one has to do with Messiah's first coming, chapters 9, 10, and 11. And the warning is, he's coming and he's going to be rejected. And then in chapters 12, 13, and 14, Messiah, who is rejected, is coming again. And when he comes and when he comes again to the Mount of Olives, he will set up his kingdom and he will be received by the Jewish people. You're going to see that as we read this. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Show us your truth. Enlighten us. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Zechariah 11. Open your gates, Lebanon, and fire will consume your cedars. Wail, Cyprus, for the cedar has fallen. The glorious trees are destroyed. Wail, oaks of Bashan, for the stately forest has fallen. Listen to the wail of the shepherds, for their glory is destroyed. Listen to the roar of the young lions, for the thickets of the Jordan are destroyed. The Lord my God says this, shepherd the flock intended for slaughter. Those who buy them slaughter them, but are not punished. Those who sell them say, Blessed be the Lord, because I have become rich. Even their own shepherds have no compassion for them. Indeed, I will no longer have compassion on the inhabitants of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Instead, I will turn everyone over to his neighbor and his king. They will devastate the land, and I will not rescue it from their hand. So I shepherded the flock intended for slaughter, the oppressed of the flock. I took two staffs, calling one favor and the other union, and I shepherded the flock. In 1 month, I got rid of three shepherds. I became impatient with them, and they also detested me. Then I said, I will no longer shepherd you. Let what is dying die, and let what is perishing perish. Let the rest devour each other's flesh. Next, I took my staff called favor and cut it in two, annulling the covenant I had made with all the peoples. It was annulled on that day, and so the oppressed of the flock who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Then I said to them, if it seems right to you, give me my wages, but if not, keep them. So they weighed my wages, 30 pieces of silver. Throw it to the potter, the Lord said to me. This magnificent price I was valued by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw it into the house of the Lord, to the potter. Then I cut into my second staff, union, annulling the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. The Lord also said to me, take the equipment of a foolish shepherd. I am about to raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are perishing, and he will not seek the lost or heal the broken. He will not sustain the healthy, but he will devour the flesh of the fat sheep and tear off their hooves. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. May a sword strike his arm and his right eye. May his arm wither away and his right eye go completely blind. Zechariah 11. Now, Zechariah 12. A pronouncement, the word of the Lord concerning Israel, a declaration of the Lord, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundation of the earth, and formed the spirit of man within him. Look, I will make Jerusalem a cup that causes staggering for the peoples who surround the city. The siege against Jerusalem will also involve Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who try to lift it will injure themselves severely when all the nations of the earth gather against her. On that day, this is the Lord's declaration. I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. I will keep a watchful eye on the house of Judah, but strike all the horses of the nations with blindness. Then each of the leaders of Judah will think to himself, the residents of Jerusalem are my strength through the Lord of armies, their God. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a wood pile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume all the peoples around them on the right and the left, while Jerusalem continues to be inhabited on its site. In Jerusalem, the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of David's house and the glory of Jerusalem's residents may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that on that day, the one who is weakest among them will be like David on that day, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. On that day, I will set out to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem, and they will look at me whom they pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. On that day, the mourning in Jerusalem will be as great as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the plains of Megiddo. The land will mourn, every family by itself, the family of David's house by itself, and the women by himself, the family of Nathan's house by itself, and their women by themselves, the family of Levi's house by itself, and their women by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their women by themselves, all the remaining families, every family by itself, and their women by themselves. I just stop here and say, we have moved here in this chapter from 520 BC all the way past 2023 to sometime in the future, maybe not long from now. Time in the beginning of the chapter when Jerusalem will be surrounded by the nations that have come up against it. And God will spare the city and the nations that come against it will be destroyed. And then after that, there will come, and let me just read that to you. You got to get this. God will pour out a spirit of grace and prayer on the house of David and the residents of Jerusalem. They will look on me or at me whom they pierced. That's going to be quoted. You got to come back on the day after Christmas on the 26th, because that very passage, that phrase, they will look on him whom they pierced, that's Zechariah 12. That's going to be quoted in the book of Revelation. It's yet to come. There's going to be a great battle, the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus returns, and in his return, he is going to pour out a spirit of grace and prayer. And the eyes of the Jewish people are going to be open, and they will look on Jesus, and they will mourn, and they will say, oh, how wrong we were. But wait a minute, that's not all. We got to come now to chapter 13. On that day, a fountain will be opened. Get it? A fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the residents of Jerusalem to wash away sin and impurity on that day. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will remove the names of the idols from the land. They will no longer be remembered. I will banish the prophets and the unclean spirit from the land. If a man still prophesies, his father and his mother who bore him will say to him, you cannot remain alive because you have spoken a lie in the name of the Lord. When he prophesies, his father and his mother who bore him will pierce him through. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his vision. When he prophesies, they will not put on a hairy cloak in order to deceive. He will say, I am not a prophet. I worked the land, for a man purchased me as a servant since my youth. If someone asks him, what are these wounds on your chest? Then he will answer, I received the wounds in the house of my friends. Sword, awake against my shepherd, against the man who is my associate. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the little ones in the whole land. This is the Lord's declaration. 2/3 will be cut off and die, but 1/3 will be left in it. I will put this 1/3 through the fire. I will refine them as silver is refined and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. They will say, I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. And by the way, verse 7, I just have to mention this. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. That's a verse that's quoted in the New Testament. For that night when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and all the disciples fled. It's interesting. Can you see here, and I've talked to you about this before, how Zechariah and the other prophets as well, they could see into the future by the inspiration of the Lord, but what they didn't see, the difference between the first coming and the second coming. And so Zechariah is effortlessly going back and forth between things that happen or will happen from his point of view, that will happen at the first coming, and things that will yet happen at the second coming. And there's one last chapter, and let's see it. Chapter 14, now, return of Christ. Look, a day belonging to the Lord is coming, when the plunder taken from you will be divided in your presence. I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem for battle. The city will be captured. The house is looted and the women raped. Half the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be removed from the city. Then the Lord will go out to fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives will be split in half from east to west, forming a huge valley, so that half the mountain will move to the north and half to the south. You will flee by my mountain valley, for the valley of the mountains will extend to Azal. You will flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of King Uzziah of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come and all the holy ones with him. On that day, there will be no light. The sunlight and moonlight will diminish. It will be a unique day, known only to the Lord, without day or night, but there will be light at evening. On that day, living water will flow out from Jerusalem, half of it toward the eastern sea, and the other half toward the western sea, in summer and winter alike. On that day, the Lord will become king over the whole earth. The Lord alone and his name alone, all the land from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, will be changed into a plain, but Jerusalem will be raised up and will remain on its site, from the Benjamin gate to the place of the first gate to the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the royal wine presses. People will live there, and never again will there be a curse of complete destruction. So Jerusalem will dwell in security. This will be the plague with which the Lord strikes all the people who have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths. On that day, a great panic from the Lord will be among them, so that each will seize the hand of another, and the hand of one will rise against the other. Judah will also fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the surrounding nations will be collected, gold, silver, and clothing in great abundance. The same plague as the previous one will strike the horses, mules, camels, donkeys, and all the animals that are in those camps. Then all the survivors from the nations that came up against Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the king, the Lord of armies, and to celebrate the festival of shelters. Should any of the families of the earth not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of armies, rain will not fall on them. And if the people of Egypt will not go up and enter, then rain will not fall on them. This will be the plague the Lord inflicts on the nations who do not go up to celebrate the festival of shelters. This will be the punishment of Egypt and all the nations that do not go up to celebrate the festival of shelters. On that day, the words "holy to the Lord" will be on the bells of the horses. The pots in the house of the Lord will be like the sprinkling basins before the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah will be holy to the Lord of armies. All who sacrifice will come and use the pots to cook in. And on that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of armies. How's all this going to happen? Clearly, I mean, you understand, this was not fulfilled in any way whatsoever in 515 or 510 or 500. And most of this was not fulfilled when Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Then a part of it was, but the biggest part is picking that day. Keep saying on that day, on that day. What day? The day of the Lord. At the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus comes with all the saints with him who were raptured before the tribulation, taken to heaven, they're going to come back with the Lord Jesus. He's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. It's going to split in two. The enemies of God are going to be destroyed. And there's some pretty, there was a pretty graphic description what's going to happen to the Lord's enemies. And on that day, the words "holy to the Lord" will be on the bells of the horses. Well, there's much more here, but I just want to say this, and we'll be done. Chapter 13, verse 1. How in the world is there going to be this great turning to God among the Jewish people? Paul picks up on this in Romans chapter 11, and all Israel will be saved. That is, the Jews who survive to the end of the tribulation period, they will look upon him whom they pierced. They will mourn. Why? But they'll mourn. The morning is going to lead to salvation, because on that day, a fountain for cleansing, to wash away sin and impurity. One of our great evangelical hymns was written by a man named William Cooper. You'll see it's spelled C-O-W-P-E-R, but it's pronounced Cooper. He wrote a hymn. You've probably sung it. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And then this verse, one of my favorites, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. That's why Jesus came. And the angel said, call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And there may I. There is a fountain filled with blood. Isn't that wonderful? There's a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Has that ever happened to you? May I pause and just ask you this question? I won't hold us. We got to finish. We're close to Christmas. We're all busy. But let me just ask you, do you know him? I didn't ask if you're Baptist. Do you know him? I didn't ask if you're Methodist. Do you know him? I didn't ask if you're Catholic, Episcopal, Brethren, Mennonite, Episcopal, Presbyterian, any brand of Lutheran, United Church of Christ, whatever, Christian Church, whatever it is. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you about your church membership. I'm asking, have you ever had your sins washed away? Sinners plunged beneath that flood. There is a fountain filled with blood. Aren't you glad for that? But do you know him? I want to urge you, if you don't know him or if you're not sure, don't trust in your religion. It will do you no good. Don't trust in your church membership. It will do you no good. In terms of forgiveness, what you need, what I need, we all need Jesus. So run to the cross. There is a fountain filled with blood. It's at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. So go out, friends, and have a great God-blessed day. What a wonderful book Zechariah has turned out to be. Do you sometimes feel as I'm reading through these books? Boy, we like to spend a lot more time here. Zechariah is a book I'd like to revisit someday and maybe teach through, because there's a whole lot here. But let's just end right here. God has opened a fountain for you and for me. That fountain is good. It's open for the whole wide world. Don't keep it to yourself. Spread the good news about the fountain of forgiveness that Jesus has opened for everybody you meet today. Go out and have a great God-blessed day. Rejoice in what Jesus has done for you. Come back tomorrow, and we're going to go back for the final time. We're going to go back into the book of Psalms. See you then. God bless.